Well, Romans 10 and verses 8, 9, and 10, these are familiar scriptures. But it says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So this talks about here what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth is going to have an impact in our life here. So what we were sharing is what we believe is what really the result of our thinking. And if we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. If we believe wrong, we'll start saying things that are not true. So in other words, what we say will be wrong. Mark 11, 23 says, "For verily," this is familiar, "for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And the reason I'm reading this is because Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said that Jesus said some things to him. And I'm highlighting this because he said, if you'll notice that the word believe is in this scripture verse once, but the word say or saith is in there three times. So he said that Jesus said this to him. He said, my people or the church doesn't have a problem with their believing. He said they have a problem with their saying. He said they've been taught to believe, but they negate their believing with their saying. And he said, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the subject of saying than believing. And we'd all have to agree that at some point we believe something, and then because of something we see, our thinking, we begin to change our opinion about it, or our heart changes, or our believing changes, and we begin to do what? Say something contrary to that. So we changed, and God's word didn't change. So if you truly believed something, that's what this is saying, if you will doubt not, but believe that which you say, it shall come to pass. So when you truly believe something, you say it. And not just say it once, you continue to say it, and you don't change. And this is what happened with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She heard of Jesus, and she pressed in or went into the press of people and said, and most of the modern translations say, she kept on saying. She didn't just say it once. She kept saying, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And that's why when the disciples said, or Jesus said, somebody touched me, and the disciples said, what do you mean somebody touched you? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumped up against you. But somebody with faith touched him, and the power of God was released. And so what happened was, the things that she said, or the things that she believed and was saying, came to pass. So, continuing along that line, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, or you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or some translations, it really just means your reasonable worship. And this is what I wanted to focus on here in King James. It says, and be not conformed to this world. What does that word conform mean? It just means the Greek word here actually means to conform oneself in mind and character. So that means what Paul is saying here is don't be conformed in your mind and your character to the way the world does things. Don't do that. He said, but, so he's giving you another way here. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can see here that this transformation, actually that word actually in the Greek means, it's the same word we use, metamorphi. Metamorpho is the Greek word, but it really means to change into another thing. Like a caterpillar, metamorphosis, a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. This is the same thing here, or the same word is actually used when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the same word. He was transformed into another being. So this is saying here that no matter what condition you are in your thinking, you can be changed. Your mind and your thoughts can literally be changed so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And one of the scriptures that comes to mind when we share this is in the Gospel of John, when it says, abide in me and I in you. This is John 15, verse 4. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it what? Abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you and the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So this is talking about the same thing that's going on in Romans 12. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's us being able to do what? Prove his good and perfect will. So this mind of mine can be changed. The soul of a person can be changed. So I don't conform to the way the world thinks and acts. God doesn't want us to. He's got something better for us. He's saying you don't have to be anxious. What is the scripture? Let's just jump over there for a minute. What does Philippians say? Philippians in chapter, four, thank you. In verse 6 it says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. But then what does verse 8 say? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we're to think on the thoughts of God. Or you could say his word. Those are his thoughts. That's what we're to think on. And when we do, it has the power to transform us, change us into somebody we weren't before. Just like the caterpillar is changed into a butterfly, this says here, this will transform us. If we were to, were one way in our thinking, it'll literally change us. A person will say, you're a different person. You are totally different. You are not the same. That is exactly what happens, that we are transformed. And I'm going to make another comment here. A lot of times, people, just being in the ministry and being around ministry for so long, is this not a common request by people? Just pray for me. I'm going through this struggle. I'm going through this. I'm having a problem. Please pray for me. I mean, they're sincere. Please, please, please pray for me. They want the pressure of something removed. They want something changed in them. And I am not in any way diminishing or saying that prayer cannot help, but you cannot replace the transforming of our minds with prayer. God has said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You do something. You are to do something. You can't ask somebody to pray when you should be reading the Word of God. You should be meditating on the Word of God. You are supposed to do something. And that in society today, just get this, just do this, boom, and then I'm moving. I'm going on to something else. Thank you, Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to go do something else. But he's saying here, be not conformed, but you be transformed. You have to do something. And so you cannot take this out of context. You can't say, well, I'm just going to have somebody pray and fix it all up. And here's what ends up happening a lot of times. People have, if you've lived in this earth long enough, you have formed some thinking habits. You've formed some ideas. And that's going to take some time for the Word of God to change you. And it just is. And the more I've said this in some classes we're teaching in Nanuet on the subject of healing. If you get enough of God's word in you long enough, it'll heal your body. And the same thing is true. If you get enough of God's word long enough, it will change your thinking. It will change you into someone that you'll have to look and go, man, my thinking's changed. My whole personality has changed. And so that's what we're talking about here. Transformation comes from the renewing of our minds. So the transformation, now what does that mean? That means that transformation encompasses everything when it talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation in Romans 1:16, that word is the word in the Greek sozo, S-O-Z-O. It's all inclusive. It doesn't just mean salvation. It means deliverance. It means healing. It means preservation. So it's all inclusive. when God provided redemption for us, he set us free. And it's all inclusive. He set our, in other words, it covers our soul, it covers our spirit. And so we don't have to be conformed to the way the world is. We've been set free. But that's going to take some undoing in our minds so that we can think differently, not think, I can't do that. I'll never have that. I'll never own that. I can't do that. Because we've been bombarded with so much information and pressure from society. See, pressure to conform didn't just stop when you graduated junior high or high school or college. Pressure to conform is all the time. You know, when I was working for corporate America, you know, I got saved during that time. And, you know, the guys wanted to go out after work. Not during work, but they wanted to go after work and drink. I'd said, I'm sorry, I'll go, but I can't, I don't drink. Oh, man. I got to business because of that. Because I didn't wear, dress, drink, do whatever they did. I did not conform to their way of thinking. So I got pressured. Didn't bother me. I just said, I'm sorry, I don't drink. And it didn't bother me. And I stood my, I wasn't honored. I just said, I'm sorry, I don't drink. And you know what's funny to me? If you go in society, there are a lot of people that aren't saved that don't drink. I knew a lot of them. They just didn't drink. They said, I don't drink. Seems like they didn't get pressured as much. They just don't drink. I don't drink. Or you have people that say, I don't do drugs. Sorry, I just don't do drugs. So this pressure to conform just didn't stop when we were young, but it's constant. And this ability to stand firm in what you believe so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. God has blessed me. So that I'm at peace and I have joy. Doesn't mean we're not confronted with problems in life, but I can say with a surety, I'm an overcomer in it because I know he's with me and he's going to walk me through it and he's given me the ability and the peace to walk through it. And he said, and be comfortable and know that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if you're not sure that God didn't move to Jamaica, or he's not for you, or he's not interested in your your stuff and your problems, if you're not sure of that, you'll conform. You'll conform to something. And that's where I'm telling you, if we don't get starting from youngsters up through teens, up through adults, if we don't get this transformation going on, you will never really be a success in Christ. You won't. And that's just the way it is. Prayer's not going to do it for you. You know, I can pray for you, but you're still going to have to go to work. You're still going to have to deal with people that are going to do what? Pressure you. And then what are you going to do? You got to go to work. And people are going to pressure you to conform. Right? But when you've been transformed, I don't have to conform. Because I'm different. And I know it. See? And that's the difference. That you are strong. You have the mind of God. You have his thoughts, and they're in your heart, see. So, you know, I just share those thoughts. And this word conform, even in the dictionary, it was interesting to look this word up. To conform, it means to be similar or identical, to be in agreement or harmony. He's saying, don't be in agreement and don't be in harmony with the way the world does things. You get my thoughts. Get my thoughts in you, and it has the power to change you and your thinking. Let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 4 for a minute. And I'm kind of touching on this and spending a little time here. And the next time we get together, I want to talk about the connection between the mind and the spirit. That connection. But Ephesians chapter 4, and let's take a look at this for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, and I want you to look at this in context of what we're talking about, the mind and changing our thinking. What does it say here? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of what? Of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How does that happen? From our minds being transformed. And this is why the devil fights so hard to get your attention focused on things other than the Word of God. Because when that happens, then we're not in unity. You're not in unity in your home. You're not in unity with people, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're just not in unity because you don't have the thoughts of God in your mind and heart. See, that's why he fights in this area. And then it continues, that we henceforth be no more what? Children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive, because you haven't been transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their what? Their mind. Having the understanding darkened. See, this is what happens. Your understanding gets darkened when you don't have and haven't let the word in, which brings light in. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. See this here? This is not talking about prayer here. This says here, what is this verse 22? That you put off concerning the former conversations. That means you've got to do something. See, I'm not downplaying prayer, but this says here, you've got to do something. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, or you could say the former lifestyle. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And what does verse 23 say? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So when we were when we become renewed in our minds, it helps us to put off these former attitudes, lifestyles, things that we have. It gives us the power to do that. We just say, I can't do that anymore. I can't think like that. I can't act that way. I can't do that anymore. And the only way that that's going to come about is the ability for you to do that is in His Word. It's in the power of God's Word that will transform us. It'll change our thinking. It'll literally change us. We'll see ourselves different, and we'll see people different. You're there. Turn over to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Look at verse 19. And and 21. It says, for it pleased the Father that in Him, or in Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated or separated, and enemies where? In your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. So you can see here how the mind can affect our relationship with God. It could. I'm not saying it does, but turn over to the book of Titus. That's just before the book of Hebrews. You go Hebrews, Philemon, I'm backing up, Titus. Titus chapter 1. And look at verse 14 and 15. And I'm kind of laying some groundwork here to show you the connection between the mind and the spirit, how it can affect us. And let's look at scripture, it'll tell us. Titus chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, look at verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Now look what it says. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. That's pretty strong. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. And so what are we talking about here? There's this connection between the soul and the spirit. And I'm going to touch on that the next time we get together. I'm going to try to lay some more scripture here. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Let's back up here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God's given us the way and the method to keep us straight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you what? You all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together, what? In the same mind and in the same judgment. And the way you're going to do that, the way you can have the same mind and the same moral judgment, I guess you could call it, the same judgment, is that you think on his thoughts, that there be no divisions among you. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And look at verse 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 10 and 11. Verse 10, it says, "Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell." So he's giving his farewell thoughts here. "Be perfect, be of comfort, be of good comfort. Be of what? One mind. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." So, talking about thoughts and our mind, thoughts can come from two sources, and we really need to know where the source is. The devil can put thoughts in our minds from the outside. God lives on the inside, and thoughts come from God, from the inside, from our spirit, and it comes to our minds. So we need to know the difference between thoughts that are coming from the outside to our mind and thoughts that are coming from God in my spirit to my mind, to my soul. And by staying in close fellowship with God, that we can determine. Now, let's look at a little story here. Some of us are familiar with it, some may not be, but let's go over to Numbers chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers chapter 13. And let's look at this story about how what they saw affected their mind. See, if you don't get the mind of Christ, you know, these bodies that we live in, our thoughts, for the most part, are affected by something we see, we read it, something we hear it. Something we taste, something we smell, something we feel. You know, we see something, we hear something, we smell something, we taste something, we feel something, and it can influence our thinking. Right? But if God says something to you, it doesn't matter what these five physical senses say to me, God has promised something to me. So it doesn't matter. And that's where we have to know his thoughts, his mind about something, so that I'm not influenced by these five physical senses. Now, I'm not saying ignore them, because the scripture also says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding." It didn't say don't use it. It just says when I have to make choices, let me get God's input. Let me get his thoughts on this. See? But when you look at Numbers chapter 13, and this story here with the 12 spies going into the promised land that were given to them. And the Lord said, this is your land. Go in and take it. But these 12 spies went, and they came back with a different kind of report. And looking back up in verse 25, and it says, they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they brought back a word. So now something that they believe. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit thereof, or the fruit of it. Nevertheless, or you could say, but, right? The people be strong that dwell in the land. God never said, watch out for them folks that are in that land. He said, go in and take it. It's yours. And he said, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They're building their case here. Got nothing to do with what God said. And Caleb, who's of another spirit now, spirit of faith, what did he do? He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He had God's thoughts here. He wasn't moved by the report that came back. He wasn't moved. Now, he didn't go in, but he wasn't moved. He wasn't moved by that. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Interesting. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in theirs. So you can see here, their believing was definitely impacted by their thinking. And their thinking was impacted by what they did, what? They saw. What they began to see, they went, oh my God, we can't do that. But that isn't what God said. He said, go in, it's your land. Take it. So we can see here that if we're not careful, God could tell us something in his written word or to us something personally, and we start to look at conditions and situations and our thinking is changed. And then we begin to do what? Start taking it in our heart and go, I don't know about that. What does that mean? That means your mind is not transformed. Because when you are transformed, you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll prove it. Just like this guy in the airplane. He called on the name of Jesus. He wasn't going up, we're going down. They would have. They would have died. Or possibly. It may have been a different outcome. Let me look, find this scripture here. Where in, I think it's Matthew 14, but I'm not 100% sure here. Let me look quick. Where's the account where Peter walked on the water? I think it's 14, but it may not be. somebody could help me. Yeah, it is Matthew 14. Okay. Here's another account. Let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 14. And look at verse 25. See, here's another account of something that happened who was well able. He's walking with Jesus. He's hearing his thoughts. He's taking them in. He's an overcomer. He's like, let me at him. Right? So what happens here? Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And here's Peter. Peter answered him, saying, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He's even, as was that song? He's prophesying. Come on the water. Right? And so what happened? Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come out, down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I didn't see them other ones getting out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat and is walking on the water. But what happened? But when he saw the wind, something he saw, boisterous, he was what? He was afraid. And he, beginning to sink, didn't say he sank, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So something, he's walking on the water. He's overcoming a natural obstacle with a word from Jesus. Come. And he's walking on the water. But something he sees now begins to affect his thinking and his believing. And this is what we're talking about. That this transformation in us will cause us to not be affected by the things we see, the things we hear, the things we feel. It won't affect us because his thoughts have taken up residence. His thoughts have taken up residence and changed my thinking. What does the scripture say in 1 John? Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, or even our faith. So our faith, our believing, can be affected by your thinking. And this is why it's so key to watch. I'm not saying turn off the TV. I'm not saying don't read. I'm not saying don't think. But what I am saying is that when you see something, you hear something, you read something, weigh it. And if it comes and smacks up against something that refutes the word of God, then you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make whether to accept it and doubt God's word or receive it and cast down the thought and say, no, I know what it says, but I am an overcomer. It may not look like it in the natural right now, but I am because Jesus said so and his word says so. It may not look like my body's healed, but I am because the word of God says so. And I believe him. It may not look like I'm prospering, but God says that he desires that above all that I prosper and be in health. So I am prospering. He said, I will multiply the seed of the sower. So my seed that I sowed in faith is multiplying, and my bank accounts are full. He said he'd open up the windows of heaven for those that bring their tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And I believe that. It may not look like it right now, but he's changing it. See, now if I fear and I start to take that thought and I begin to say with my mouth something contrary to that, then you can begin to have it. And this is some of the things that I've taught before, is saying that when Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you, you know, faith, you know, the interesting thing about faith, you know, sometimes when we look at spiritual things, sometimes we disconnect from natural things that we already are doing. Something that Brother Hagin used is, and he shared this when he was in ministry for years. He said, you can school yourself. Someone may say, and had said to him, I'm not at that level of faith, or I don't believe that. So he'd say, well, just believe. I don't believe that. And he said, well, you can school yourself into faith by doing what? He said, just keep saying it. Even if you don't believe it, and little by little, you will begin to believe it. Why? Because the Word of God has the power within it to change my thinking. And when my thinking changes, now I no longer doubt. I go, I do have it. I believe that. And here's the point that I've used in this example. How many have automatically began to doubt something? Most of us didn't. We did it in degrees. We had a bad experience. Something happened, or we just began to look at something that affected our thinking, and we began to say, I'll never get that. I'll never be able to do that. And you said it. Didn't happen overnight. But then, and you didn't really believe it. You just said it because you're sensory and you began to be affecting it. And you begin to say it. Maybe another week goes by, 2 weeks go by, you say it again. You keep saying it, and at some point, you believe the doubt. But it didn't happen instantly. It happened over time. You began to believe the negative. So you schooled yourself into doubting. Well, we can do the same thing with believing. See, we can school ourselves to believe something when we really didn't believe it to begin with, because the Word of God has the power in it to transform me so that I can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can prove it. But that didn't happen overnight. I had to school myself to the place of what? Believing. Does everybody get this? Or is it just me? Because I remember one time I said something negative. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's not edifying. But I said something negative for years and I got it. Boy, and the Lord reminded me, I won't do that again. So sometimes we can say something negative and not really think anything of it. You know, this goes with our interpersonal relationships. It goes with our children. You know, if you start talking negative stuff over your children, you start putting stuff out there with your mouth, and after a while, your mouth has the power to influence and to cause things to come to pass. Whether you have, I mean, you know, think about all the stories, you know, that I've heard men and women of God speak about their lives, where they began to speak things that they didn't believe at first, but that's why you keep saying it. You put things in motion. That's why God has, we're so strong on speaking something and believing with the heart and saying with your mouth what you believe. That's why we confess for a certain amount of money to come in. And so if you don't, then you'll never have it. I like what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. So set your goals high. Believe big. Believe high for things. You may not get all of them. You may get half of them. That's better than nothing. You know, I remember there's a couple, a deacon couple down in New York. All their children are grown. And they had, trying to remember, three or four children. I think it's three. They're all grown. And they said this with their mouth, we will never spend one dime on our children's education. Now you might think, okay, that's where their faith was. And that's what they believed. They said, we will never spend one dime of our own money on our children's education. And both their boys went to West Point, and their girl graduated from college, played professional basketball overseas, and then came back, went to law school, and was working for a law firm in Washington, D.C., and they never spent one dime. Now, yeah, West Point doesn't charge. I understand that, but the child had to get in with some grades. And so however God orchestrates, whether grants come, whether funds come, whatever it is, their faith was, and they put it out there. And that's all I'm saying is that begin to have the mind of God and thoughts that I'm not just trying to make it through life. God's blood was shed so that we could be blessed and at peace and have the blessings of God. But if I don't get my mind transformed, then I will conform to the world's way of thinking. Thank you for your excitement. Anyways. Because you're an overcomer, whether you believe it or not. I'm an overcomer. We just got to do what? Believe that. Believe it. Doors of opportunity are opening to us. And I've got to continue to say it and believe it. I'm not lacking. You know, the Lord spoke to this to me years ago. When I had some sickness in my body, I started to laugh at the symptoms. And I kept laughing for about a half an hour, and the joy of the Lord came. And I was so full of laughter, and then it stayed for a while and then lifted. But I remember the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. He started to talk about my finances, not my physical body. In that place of his presence, he began to talk to me about my finances. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And boy, oh boy, I knew right away I wasn't working the word in the area of finances. What does that mean? I was taking my money, putting it in the offering bucket, but I wasn't speaking over it. I wasn't releasing faith-filled words, and I wasn't believing or expecting harvest on seed that I was sowing. So I was getting nothing. And it answered some questions. So God's thoughts are key. It'll transform our thinking so that we will prove his word in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord.